Ellie Weber, 902, a little late, it's my fault. We're doing safe and listed, 192 and 193, a doubleheader, not listed, so you'll have to tell us
the last thing you are is a plain Jew.
Okay. Ziggy Weiser's 90th birthday is coming up, we'll see about it next week.
Okay, you're not it. Okay. So I didn't put the names of the mitzvahs on top. Because
to keep us in suspense.
Not to keep you in suspense. It's because it's so bizarre. Like, you'll see. Today, we've been at this for a long time, going through the Sefer mitzvahs in order. But I don't think we've ever come across such strange mitzvahs as we're going to do today. If you recall, we're in the middle of a unit. We've taken breaks, but we're in the middle of a unit.
Yes, right.
We're in the middle of a unit about going to war. We did Amalek and the Zayin Amim and Meshuach Milchama. And now we're up to, I guess I would say, cleanliness of the camp. That's really what we're up to. A mitzvah that you would not think would be mitzvahs. They're fascinating, sort of philosophically, that the Torah would get down to this kind of detail. They're also fascinating. We're also fascinating halachically.
You mean the bathroom outside the camp.
Let's just read psukim.
You would
okay.
Think, by the way, that would be just for the time.
We could talk about that also. Let's look at the psukim. Okay, says the Torah in Parak Chaf Gimel, Pasuk Yud, Ki teitse machane al oyevecha. When you go out, your camp goes out against your enemies. What's this talking about? What's this talking about? It's talking about going to war, right? That the context must be war. So says the Torah, V'nishmarta mikol davara. Somebody translate. When you go out to war, it's kind of a funny pasuk. V'nishmarta mikol davara.
Just watch out for all possibilities.
Right. So it's weird because you're going to war. You know, bad things happen in war, almost by definition. In fact, I'll give you a good example. You know, normally we say there are only three mitzvahs in the Torah for which you have to give your life. Right? What are they? The big three.
Killing.
Avodah Zarah. Gilu Arayos. And Shvichas Damim. Right? Going to war is not one of those mitzvahs. But going to war involves putting your life at risk. So say all the achronim, yes, because that's part of the mitzvah. Meaning, it's not surprising that when you go to war, going to war by definition means putting yourself at risk. So I don't have anything fancy to say. It's just I find the phrase v'nishmar tami kol davara, it's in line with this general idea that we have, like, you know, that shahasatan mikatreg bishat, I don't know, sakana, when bad things happen, a lot of bad things happen.
But the Torah never mentions casualties in the conquest of Israel. I guess we have to assume there were casualties, there were people killed, but the Torah specifically doesn't mention in the
right. So sometimes we think there were no casualties, like when we attacked Ai without God's permission. We understand there were casualties, yeah, or captives. So I don't know how to answer that question. You know, could it be that nobody died at all in the conquest?
It seems impossible.
Correct. It seems impossible unless it was miraculous. It seems impossible. I agree.
Unless
okay, but
we
the
were
Torah.
Under some divine power.
Well,
that
we were, but
it.
Still. Okay, but here again.
How are you defining the term ra?
Again, I don't know. I'm not defining. Look. We could broadly define it as negative, right? What is ra? We could see in the psukim.
Opposite of good.
Huh?
Opposite of good.
Excellent. It's the opposite of good. All I'm pointing out is I just think it's fascinating that the Torah says when you go out, the way I read this pasuk is when you go out to war, be especially careful. Right?
Yeah,
I think that
behavior,
for sure.
Huh?
Be focused on your own personal behavior.
Yeah, be especially careful.
No, I don't mean that. I mean on that you don't behave improperly in war.
So again, it's open to anything. I'm purposely not taking a stand, not because I'm trying to leave it open for a discussion, but because I really don't know. I could see a situation where I think for religious people, V'nishmarta mikol davar ra, for us, means two things. One, careful where you step, look out for the enemy, you know, be very hygienic, what, do all the things you have to do. And also, daven three times a day, right. You know, try to be as close to God as you can. I assume all those things are involved in V'nishmarta mikol davar ra. I'll say something else now also, which we'll get to, but I believe to be true. One is, it is the case that we think when you're in a bad place, when bad things are going on, you know, just like we have mitzvah, goreret mitzvah, aveira, goreret aveira. And all of us know in our own lives, you know, you get into streaks, right? When things are going really well for you religiously, so it's easier to get up for minyan and you feel closer to God, you know, and God forbid the reverse, when things are not going well, it's the opposite. We will see, and it's just a fact, it's reflected in halacha, but it's human nature. Part of going to war is to be, you know, barbaric or inhuman. It involves killing people, right? And certainly in the old days, you know, it meant literally getting your hands wet with blood. And there's no question, it was true then, it's true now, that does bad things to you psychologically. Right? On Yom Kippur, when you're wearing a kittel and you're not eating or drinking, you're in shul, you're much more spiritual. When you're in the field, you know, killing somebody, you're much more animalistic. And just on that level, the Torah may be saying, and by the way, it's reflected in halacha, and it's reflected in heterim, not in prohibitions. For example, Eishes Yifas Tohar, right? The Torah says, Dibra Torah Kineged Yetzar. What's Eishes Yifas Tohar? You find a beautiful woman, you know, beautiful captive in war, and you desire her. Okay? So, the general understanding of Eishes Yifas Tohar, which is the correct one, is the Torah is limiting your persecution of that woman, or you're taking advantage of her by only letting you have relations with her once, or by making you wait a period of time till you even have relations. That's a machlokes. But the bottom line is, shockingly, Chazal say that God doesn't want you to take an Eishes Yifas Tohar. Right? This is one of the great misconceptions. It's one of the Tayag Mitzvahs. We've mentioned this many times. The fact that something is one of the Tayag Mitzvahs doesn't mean you're supposed to do it. It means if you're in that situation, then this is the way it's supposed to be done. For example,
get.
Right. The Torah doesn't want me to divorce my wife. The Torah says, if you're going to divorce your wife, here's how you do it. So there, Chazal say, really in a shocking line, Dibra Torah Keneged Yetzahara, that the mitzvah of Eishes Yifas Tohar is just Keneged Yetzahara. Then it even gets worse. She'im, you know, She'im lo yatirena, if the Torah doesn't permit her on some level, Yisa'ena be'isr. The Torah is worried that because we're in war, right? In war, you're allowed to eat treif if you're hungry. But there's all these heterim. So all I'm saying is, I think v'nishmarta mikol davar ra, when just at the very beginning, means be really careful, because your yetzahara is really working overtime. You're in a dangerous place. There's all these things going down. You know, you're not in your regular environment. Be very careful. Okay. Now, I skipped a few psukim, but because they deal with other mitzvahs, but then you come to the mitzvahs we're going to deal with. Pasuk Yud Gimel. V'yad tihiyah lecha michutz la'machaneh. Anybody want to take a shot at it? The words are easy, but it doesn't mean what we think. Tihiyah lecha michutz la'machaneh is easy. What does that mean? Tihiyah lecha michutz la'machaneh means
going out of the camp.
It will be for you outside of the camp. The question is, what's v'yad? We'll come back to that. So there's something that should be for you outside of the machaneh. V'yatzata shamachutz. Now, it's embarrassing to translate, but v'yatzata shamachutz means what we would say colloquially, you will go there. It means a bathroom. It means a latrine. It's a pasuk in the Torah that says v'yad means a latrine or some form of bathroom. Okay? Says the Torah, you have to establish, you know, a bathroom outside of the camp, v'yatzata shamachutz, and that's where you have to go. Okay, as simple as that. And then there's another pasuk. V'yateid tihiyah lecha al azeinecha, The ate generally translated as a kind of a shovel. Okay? So, amongst your implements of war, you have a shield, you have a bow and arrow, you have a sword, you have a spear, you have a shovel. Now, it could be that the shovel is like the back end of your spear, which I guess would kind of ruin the throwing action of the spear, or the back of the... I don't know, but it... You need a shovel, and here it's just amazing. V'haya b'shiftecha chutz, when you go outside, okay, presumably when you go outside of the camp, v'chafar taba, you should dig a hole, v'shavta v'chisita echa. And when you finish, you take your shovel, and you cover up your excrement. You cover up what you did. Now, or pasuk, why all of this? Ki Hashem Elokecha mitalech bekerev machanecha, because God, your God, literally walks in the midst of your camp, lehatzilecha, to save you, vilateit oyevecha lefanecha, and to give your enemy to you, vehaya machanecha kadosh, as a result of which your camp has to be holy. We'll come back to that. V'lo yireh b'cha ervat davar v'shav me'acharecha. And God should not see anything disgusting in your camp, and he will leave you. Okay? So, first of all, I'm struck by the fact that the phrase v'haya machanecha kadosh, if I asked anybody to translate that, you would say v'haya machanecha kadosh means your camp would be holy. When we use the word holy, we mean it in what sense?
In a spiritual sense.
You would never think that, you know, physical cleanliness has an impact on holiness. Well, one second. But I think this is one of the great proofs in the Torah that there is a connection between physical cleanliness, between, you know, showering and clean clothing and things like that, and holiness. Now, you would think, I don't want to be completely dependent on the others, but I always assumed it was like the Balei Mussar, you know, say, it's good for you, and I think it's true. I think a person who's wearing clean clothes and who's cleaned himself is more likely to daven better, I suppose. I've been drilled that's like a thing that makes sense. But I always assumed that was as a result of human nature, that I'm on my best behavior when I've invested in my appearance, right? If I'm wearing clean clothes, whatever, instead of muddy stuff, I'll be more likely to. But I think here, you see in the Torah, that's not true. Or it's true, but it's truer than we would have thought, that there is some kind of, I don't know, metaphysical connection between God's presence and what we would call actual physical cleanliness.
I'll give you an example. You take your little...
You're supporting me?
Well, you take your little...
So you can say yes, you could say yes.
Yes, you're 6 months old to chew.
Okay.
They have a dirty diaper.
Right.
Or leaks on the chew.
Right, right.
You have to clean it up. You
right.
can't just leave it in chew because...
Right, but I always assumed that was out of respect for the chew.
Yeah, that's anywhere
you... Here you have the sense... Here you have the sense that God himself recoils, you know, from this kind of stuff. Now, I don't think that that's the same, the idea is that God recoils from the fact that you didn't make your bed. I wouldn't go that far, although my mother would, you know.
There's a black and white Mishnah that lists the orders of A to Z, where you end up getting close to God,
mm-hmm.
and cleanliness and...
Nikiyut. We'll get there.
On that list.
We'll get there. I just, I find it so, you know, like I just saw the pasuk in it.
The Kohanim were obsessive about cleanliness.
Absolutely.
They were constantly washing, and so holiness and cleanliness are very closely linked throughout the Torah.
Again, I'm just admitting that I always assumed that it was kind of like just a thing people said. And here, you know, but you're absolutely right. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a huge emphasis on cleanliness, and a huge emphasis on order, and... Okay.
The fact that Torah has to tell us this means people wouldn't have like known this. It's interesting.
I wouldn't have known it.
You have to go.
No, I have to say this. I would have thought the opposite. The last thing, you know, when I'm preparing for war, right? This is in the context of war.
Oh.
It's hard to know. You know, you can learn lessons to other situations. But this din, if you ask me, and we'll see it in the Rambam, if you start from the ki teitzei machana loivecha, if you ask me, is there a din that the city needs plumbing? Is that a mitzvah satorah? I would say maybe you could learn it from here, but my plain reading of the psukim is that this is a din in war. And if you ask me, when you go out to war, the last thing I really care about is cleanliness. I care about killing the enemy. Now again, I want to admit, historically, one of the greatest causes of death in war were things like diphtheria.
Yes, right.
Right, you know, they just get, they don't have proper sanitation. People get sick. Mm-hmm. So you could just say, you know, this is good rational advice that the Torah is telling you. Don't overlook sanitary conditions when you go to war. And I would really say that, except, you know, the word kadosh. V'haya machanecha kadosh. You know, ki Hashem lokecha mitaleich bekerv machanecha lahatzilcha me'oivecha. You know, that's well beyond sanitation. That's God being in your camp. Okay? So again, and forgetting all the fancy ideas, I just, you know, if we take nothing else, and we're just getting started, if we take nothing else other than the fact that the Torah has specific, so you know, if you look in the Torah for the 39 malachos, right? What pasuk is it in? Here you go. The prohibition of doing 39 malachos on Shabbos. What pasuk is it in? Trick question. It's not. Okay? It just says you can't do malacha on Shabbos. But what the 39 malachos are, that's all learned out from the Mishkan. It's all Torah Shebaal Peh. I just want to point out, you know, I'm fascinated by this idea of what the Torah spends time on and what the Torah doesn't spend time on. Here you have at least two complete psukim, one telling you, V'yad tihiyah lecha michutz lamachaneh, you should establish a latrine outside of the camp, V'yatzata shamachutz. That's a pasuk in the Torah, you know. That's a bathroom pasuk in the Torah. And then you have another one. V'yatei tiyeh lecha l'azeinecha. Take a shovel with you. You know, v'haya b'shiftecha chutz. And when you go outside of the camp, v'chafarta ba, v'shavta, v'chitzita tzeyatecha. It's just nothing else. It's the Torah getting down to details that we would be, you know, embarrassed to talk about in public. I find that fascinating. You should just know, when you hang out in yeshivas long enough, it's like a cool thing to make silly jokes about. You know, guys will say, oh, you know, the highlight of my army service was, you know, when I was mekayim the pasuk of going outside of the camp, you know, and I shoveled it.
Are soldiers given a shovel today?
So they're not. I have to admit, I wanted to talk to people, I forgot to, about is there any form of this in the IDF today? I assume it's prohibited to go, you know, to go on the floor in the middle of the camp. But I did not.
Army.
What?
It was in my army, the American army.
Okay.
Also to go.
Okay, that seems like pretty, you know, pretty common sense. Okay, let's look at the Rambana number two, just to kind of confirm some of the ideas we've discussed before we get to the Rambam. Says the Ramban, "V'nishmar tami kol davara." So first he quotes Rashi. This is what I mentioned. Shehasatan mekatreg bishata sakana. When you're in a dangerous situation, bad things happen. Now in this case, bad things happen because of the satan. The way Rashi's saying. I think we think, you know, just when you're in a dangerous situation, you're in a dangerous situation and bad things happen. But the way Rashi presents it, when you're in a dangerous situation, it's like the satan is present. That's a very interesting idea also, which I don't want to talk about because I don't fully understand. But
it's also interesting that it uses the word mekatreg as being the prosecutor, meaning you have already within you certain things that deserve prosecution, and when you're in this environment, then the satan sort of is now focused on, let's look at what your deeds have been.
Right. I think because, my guess is because you put yourself in a risky situation where you need God's help. Right. For example, I think if I'm sitting on my couch in the morning, so the satan doesn't really get that involved because I don't need God's help, you know, thank God, to get up from the couch. I'm not in any danger, so I haven't put myself in a situation where I'm being judged. One second. But if, I've become obsessed with this recently, if I'm at level four, base camp four at Everest, you know, and I'm oxygen deprived, I need God's help, right? So the satan shows up.
It's opportunistic.
It's almost like I put myself on trial. So if you put yourself on trial because you're at risk, now it's the satan's job to show up and take the other side. Whereas if I don't put myself at risk, right? I ask myself this all the time. You know, we believe in a divine plan, whatever. So is the divine plan, again, because I'm obsessed with this, that people die on Everest? Like, does God put it into this lunatic's mind that he should pay $45,000 to go, you know? I don't think so. I think part of it is God responds to the situation that you put yourself in. So if you're bishat milchama, then, you know, you need God's help, and the satan shows up because that's the satan's job. Mr. Weiser.
There's no atheist in the foxhole.
Right, same thing. There's no atheist in the foxhole, and that makes complete sense. Because when your life is on the line... When your life is on the line, I assume you become, you know, you look for help. And you look for help wherever you could get it. Okay, back to the Ramban. End of the first line. Says the Ramban, V'hanachon be'enai, what appears to be true to me, be'inyan ha-mitzvah hazot, with respect to this mitzvah, that's the mitzvahs we're talking about bathroom, ki ha-katuv yazhir ba'eit asher ha-chet matzui bo. Says the Ramban, the Torah is warning us specifically about times where sin is available, right? Where your yetzahara is working overtime, where your animalistic instincts are, again, most of my experience with this is like the movies, you know. But if you watch Braveheart, you know, like when you're charging, right, you got to be like a complete animal, and you have to enjoy the blood. You know, so says the Ramban, the Torah is warning us. It's not this, right? Rashi has the satan. When the satan shows up, you got to be really careful. The Ramban says it's not the satan so much; it's human beings. We've put human beings in a situation where we're asking them to act like animals. And the result is, you know, they're unrestricted. V'hayadua b'minhagei ha-machanot ha-yotzot la-milchama. And it's known, boom, when people go out, when camps go out to war, ki yochlu kol toeva, right? They'll eat all kinds of disgusting things. Whatever's available to be eaten, they'll eat. Yigzalu v'yachmesu. They'll take things, you know, with force. They'll steal, v'lo yit boshashu, and there'll be no embarrassment, right? These are war crimes. Afilu biniyuf v'chol nevela, even with respect to rape and all kinds of abominations. Says the Ramah, it's not just that people do it, and he says historically people do it in war, but they're not even embarrassed by it. Hayashar bibnei adam b'tivo. Even, he says, a good person, a moral person, a person who in his nature is good, yit labesh achzariut v'chema, he will clothe himself in arrogance, in hard-heartedness, you know, and in anger, kitzeit machanel oyev, you know, when he goes out to war, it's almost necessary. Va'al kein hizhir bo hakatuv, therefore, the Torah warns us, v'nishmarta mikol davara, to be careful of all bad things. Okay? So, fascinatingly, we really have what I would think as a machlokas Rashi, and the Ramban is really a machlokas, you know, in terms of outlook. Rashi has the frumer, the more religious view, which is when you put yourself in a makom sakana, you need God's help. When you need God's help, the satan also shows up, because that's his job. Therefore, try to be as frum as you can, because you're going to be on trial. It's a mini Yom Kippur. Says the Ramban, no, I think it's much more... The Ramban says it's much more practical than that. What's going on is you have to be good, because you're putting yourself in a situation where evil is available, and where human nature gets you to be evil, and where people lose all kinds of restrictions. Therefore, the Torah says, "V'nishmarta mikol davara." And he just finishes, "V'alderech ha-pshat." He said, "The simple reading the pasuk, he azhara mikol ha-na'esar." Right? The Torah is just warning you to continue keeping halacha even when you go to war.
We have the concept here of taharat ha-neshek.
In Israel, we have that, right?
Which verges on this But in a war, it's often kill or be killed.
Right.
So there can be really no real purity of arms in a situation like that.
Correct. I think that the idea is, right, you do your best. That's a constant debate in the army here, right? You do your best. Nobody would sanction war crimes just because you went to war, right? We don't think we should kill, you know, innocent civilians.
Yeah.
You can have a whole debate about it. But the idea of trying to be moral, I guess some people would say the idea of trying to be moral in a war situation is just inherently inconsistent and just leads to your own deaths. The IDF doesn't believe that, and, you know, I don't know enough to disagree. Okay, fine. Now, but I'll say this also, it's hard to know from this pasuk what, you know, practically how you apply that. Right, you know, recently in the news, you're a soldier and this Arab girl spitting in your face and slapping you across the face. You know, it's humiliating to watch. I don't know from this pasuk what the right result is, although in my gut is, you know, she should be put in jail forever. But okay. Now, let's look at the halachos. There are two mitzvahs in the Rambam. Again, two mitzvahs based on two separate psukim. Look at source number 3. Rambam, mitzvah asei kuf tzadi beis 192. Says the Rambam, "V'hamitzvah kufta adibei he shetzivanu kisheyetsu." Oh, you know what? Before we even read this, I'm sorry, I wanted to ask a few questions. Before we even read this, let's do halacha. What are the practical? Let's try to put structure to these. We read two psukim. One is make latrines outside of the camp. The second is, you know, you have a shovel to cover your stuff. Okay, so I've already given it away, at least within the Rambam, but it's a machlokes. How many mitzvahs is that?
Sounds like two.
Two.
Right, so it's two separate psukim, and I presented them as two separate mitzvahs, and that's in fact how the Rambam paskens. But we'll see, it's a machlokes.
Could it be one, sort of, one?
Right,
one
couldn't you, if you wanted to make it one mitzvah, what would you say?
War. It's unrelated to war.
Not, but more than that, well, what's a better way to do it? That, or this one mitzvah of the Hayam Machanecha Kadosh, right, your camp should be holy, your camp should be clean. Within that, you know, in order to accomplish that goal, you have setting up a latrine and people having to go outside of the camp and people having to cover up the, you know, that's one.
That's three mitzvahs then.
But
no, well, one describes.
Yes, but again, we've discussed this before, we'll discuss it again because it's a hard thing to know the line. The Torah says on the first day of Sukkos, take a lulav and esrog, hadasim and aravos. How many mitzvahs?
One.
Why? Because they're details of the one mitzvah. All I'm saying is, you could easily take the tact that there's a mitzvah called Vayam Achanecha Kadosh, which encompasses making a latrine. Again, the Rambam doesn't hold that way. And we'll have to decide, because the Rambam believes in this idea that there are details that make up one mitzvah, we have to ask ourselves, then why here does he see them as two mitzvahs? Yes.
That if it's really one mitzvah, it's a little bit inconsistent because on the one hand you're saying make your machaneh kadosh, so it shouldn't really matter about covering up your stuff outside of the machaneh because you have inherently kept that mitzvah by creating the mitzvah to create toilets outside, right? So what does it matter what you do? So obviously there's something else going on beyond just the kadosh aspect of the
mitzvah. Nice. And maybe we'll see that in the Rambam. That's a very good idea. That's one thing. Second thing, what are the circumstances? We've kind of made this obvious, but it may not be. What are the circumstances under which these rules apply?
War,
right? It seems obvious in the psukim. So, I'll show you. There's at least one sheet that says not. That says this. So, let me ask you this. One second. Let me ask you this. We all know it's the camp we can most easily imagine is the camp in the Midbar. You know, there's the Mishkan in the middle, there's the Levium, and then there's 12 tribes around. Would we say that this halacha applies to that camp or not?
Well, I would have thought so.
But everybody else just said, I think correctly so. It says, "Ki teitzei machanel oivecha," when you go out to war. Mm-hmm. this mitzvah was given by Moshe Rabbeinu at the end of 40 years. Again, it could have been given earlier, but certainly the simple reading, I'm putting it out there because I think this is the analysis you have to go through. The simple reading seems to limit it to going to war. On the other hand, you could argue it either way. You could say, if you do it when you go to war, of course you have to do it in your camp. Or you could say, no, it's because you're going to war, because you're on top of Everest, because you need God's help, and therefore, right, just it's easy to argue it either way. Mm-hmm. There's one more detail that ties back to things we've done before, but we've done it a long time ago, Mashiach, Melchama, what have you. You will see later on that there's one shita that limits this. What would make a camp particularly holy when you go to war? Correct. We'll see at least the possibility that this din is limited to when the Aron Kodesh goes with you. Mm-hmm. Somehow, because then your camp is, whatever it means to be literally holy, your camp is literally holy. And last one, which I think there's universal agreement on, but let's just put it on the table also, there are different types of war. Correct. So we read the Psukim together. Any guess?
Mitzvah.
So I have to say for myself, I don't see any reason to think one or the other. Because it doesn't say when God commands you, it says, Ki teitze machana aloivecha. Right? When you go to war.
Maybe there is a greater divine protection when you're doing Milchemet Mitzvah as opposed to Rishut.
Or the reverse. Maybe you need more divine protection. I'm just saying, I find it hard to... I think everybody thinks it's all wars. I just want to be clear. I think everybody thinks so. When I look at it, and maybe I worked backwards because I knew that already. Okay, fine. Those are the issues. Let's see how they play out. Rambam. Kuf Tzadi Beis. Vaha Mitzvah Kuf Tzadi Beis. He shetzivanu kisheyetsu chayaloteinu lamilchama, when we go out to war, shenachin derech chutz min hamachane lotzei ta'ambo. Okay, where we establish a derech, a place outside of the camp, lotzei ta'ambo, for the people to go. V'lo ya'aseh kolish tzrachav b'chol makom, and the flip side of that is it almost becomes what's called an Isser Aseh. It's prohibited as a result for people to do their needs wherever they want. Ubein hamilonot. This is a great word. I didn't look it up. I should have. What is a malon?
A hotel.
Right. So I don't think he means between the hotels, but I think that's where the word comes from.
The barracks?
Right. The places that you sleep. I think we stole the word malon in modern Hebrew from the original, word of barracks or place that you stay. And here he just points out the obvious. Who does that? Kimosha ya'asu ha'umot. Right? That the Gentiles do not have purity of their camp. They go wherever they go. And again, you can understand it. We're in war. I'm not going to take the time to, I'm disgusted about the blood. Okay? Not to do that. V'hu amaro yitaleh, says the Rambam, that's the pasuk we read. V'yad tihiyah lecha. V'lashon sifrei, ein yad, it's a strange word, yad literally means hand. Ein yad ela makom, it means a place. Shenemar v'hinei matziv lo yad, I establish for him a yad, a place. Okay, so says the Rambam, the first mitzvah is to establish a latrine. The kind of what you would call the Isser Aseh, the prohibition that flows from this requirement of establishing a latrine, is that you're not allowed to go in the camp, even though that's not the pasuk. Okay, now, let's do the second mitzvah, and then we'll come back. Kuf Tzadi Gimel. V'hamitzvah Kuf Tzadi Gimel. He shetzivanu sheyihyeh kli chafira, literally a tool of digging, what we call a shovel. Talui im kulei hamilchama im kol echad me'anshei hachayil. Right, hanging with, or part of the tool kit for each soldier. What for? Lachpor bo makom, in order to dig a hole. Yifnebo, to go in. in the way, in the place, in the latrine that was prepared for this. And he should cover the excrement after he goes. Ad shalo tiret soa al pnei haaretz klal b'machane hamilchama. Until you don't see, you know, any excrement sitting around on the field in the machane milchama. Kmo shama b'rosh haparsha ki teitzei machane aloi vecha. Says the Rambam, he reminds us it's talking about war camps. Because it says ki teitzei machane aloi vecha v'lashon mitzvah zo. And the Torah uses a lashon of a mitzvah. It's a commandment. V'yatei tiyeh lecha al azeinecha. You are commanded to have a shovel amongst your tools. V'lashon sifrei, ein azeinecha ela makom ziyunecha. It is the place of your artillery, is the wrong word. Your tools of war. Okay. If I ask you, just in terms of playing with the question of why the Rambam separates it into two mitzvos, and he does, I think there's a couple of things that stand out. The first is, who is the first mitzvah on? Whose job is it to establish a latrine? Presumably, you know, it's like mitzvos lahavdil, like building the Beis HaMikdash, right? It's not, you know, establishing a bezdin. Right? Egla Rufa. They're mitzvos on the community that each of us presumably would have to, you know, take part in, but they're mitzvos on the community. For the most part, I assume, I'm a regular soldier in the army, I assume that the generals and whatever, the Kohen Gadol, the Mashiach Milchama, is responsible for making sure that there'll be a latrine. But the second mitzvah, I need a shovel, I think that's a mitzvah on the Yachid. That's the mitzvah on each person in the army to make sure that he has a shovel. Just like, you know, the mitzvah of Dalet Minim, which we mentioned before, I don't think you get to say, well, I thought when I came to shul, you know, there'd be communal Dalet Minims here, and therefore it's not my responsibility. The answer is no. It's each of our responsibilities. So I think one of the simplest ways of separating the two mitzvahs is to say that they apply to different groups of people. The first one, making the latrine, is a responsibility in the community. The second one, of the shovel, is an individual responsibility. Yes?
Interestingly, they found letters from Bar Kokhba, who was the head of the army in the Bar Kokhba revolt.
I heard of him.
He requested,
I don't want to brag, but I heard of him.
So he requested Arba Minim, some parts for his soldiers.
Okay, good.
Because it was communal material. Also, Hezri guys are often in tanks, and they told me that tanks do not have bathrooms, and that's where the helmet comes in handy, and this is a very difficult mitzvah to be involved with, because you cannot leave the tank for a very long time, often, and this is a problem.
Okay, they should go in business class. Okay, fine. The other possibility, well, you know what? Let's just flip over. Let's look at the Rambam, just how he brings it lahalacha in the Yad HaChazaka. It's Hilchos Melachim. Why is it Hilchos Melachim? Because Hilchos Melachim isn't just called Hilchos Melachim. It's Hilchos Melachim u'milchamtehem.
Right.
The Rambam put those two things together. So obviously the rules of war are in Hilchos Melachim. This is also a good time to point out the other interesting thing. It's not just that these mitzvahs are not well known. You know, just not a lot of people learn these mitzvahs. But there's not a lot of stuff on them, again, because in halacha, the gap between the historical gap, meaning Hilchos Shechita, okay? Since Moshe Rabbeinu, Jews have been slaughtering animals, right? So when you look through the literature, there's thousands of years of literature on Hilchos Shechita, right? Since Moshe Rabbeinu, Jews have been wearing talis and tefillin and kashrus and Shabbos and all these things. And so there's thousands of years of practical issues dealing with these questions, something that works against us nowadays, conversion, gir, right? There are thousands of years of tshuvas with respect to conversion. But from the time of, you know, David HaMelech, okay, and a little bit after, but there were, I don't know, 2,000 years of Jewish history without a Jewish army. So it went basically, you know, from just do it for no good reason. Start from the year zero, which is probably late, you know, to what year? 1948. You know, a complete absence of practical tshuvos relating to the army. So it's just interesting to know, you know, in halacha, you go from the Rambam, because the Rambam codified all of the Torah, to 1948. There's nothing in between. The Torah didn't deal with it. You know, the Shulchan Aruch didn't deal with it. The Chasam Sofer didn't. It's a completely open playing field that we have to fill in now. Yeah.
What do you mean? There was no army until 1948. No Jewish army.
Yeah.
There were armies.
I said from the time after David HaMelech and Shaul, of course there was a Jewish army. But I'm saying when you look in halach, we don't have tshuvos, that's before there was a Mishnah, right? When you look at Jewish literature
from the Mishnah, no.
The gap
Korban by Hashem.
Right.
Okay,
from the time of the Mishnah.
No. Stop arguing with me. Everybody knows I'm right. We'd argue about what year, but everybody knows I'm right, okay? Because I didn't make it up. There's just, you know, when you go, like if you take out like a Bar Ilan, so when you look through the history of tshuva, so the Bar Ilan, starting with the Rishonim, when you look in Hilchos Giyur or Tzitzis or Taos or Tefillin, you come up with a gazillion things, mm-hmm. right? When you look at, you know, nobody asked the Rashba a question about war. Nobody asked the Nodeb Yehuda in Prague. Nobody, you know, it just never existed. So it's a really interesting thing that there's just a lot of space. When Rav Goren started writing things about war, he wasn't agreeing or disagreeing. It literally, from the Rambam in the 1100s, nobody had written practical halacha about war. Until
The Chavetz Chaim does have a tshuva for how soldiers should conduct those.
The Chavetz Chaim talked about when the Tsar drafts you.
That this might apply to
absolutely
Jews
not.
In a foreign army.
You could find it. That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question. Certainly, the Chavetz Chaim never told his students that go out there and you have a mitzvah saseh to make a latrine.
Right.
Maybe he told them you have a mitzvah saseh to take a shovel. I'm not sure, but I'm saying, you know, it's what I'm describing is historically accurate. Let's look at the Rambam. Okay, Hilchos Malachim Perek Vav Alacha Yudalet. Va'asur lehafnot mitoch b'toch hamachaneh o al pnei asadeh b'chol makom. It's interesting. Here the Rambam starts with the negative. It's prohibited to go in the camp or just openly on the field. Ela mitzvat ase letaken sham derech miuchedet lehafnot ba. Rather, you have to establish a particular place to go. That's the pasuk. Halachot hazvav. V'chein mitzvat ase lihiyot yateid lechol echad v'chad tuya im klei milchamto. There's a mitzvah ase for you to have a shovel along with your other war implements. V'yetzei ba'oto haderech v'yachpor ba v'yifne v'yichase. You go out to the latrine. You make a hole, you go, you cover it over. Now the Rambam touches on, because he knows it's a machlokes, something that we haven't seen till now, but we mentioned. Says the Rambam, Ubein sheyesh imahen aron, whether they have the Aron Kodesh with them, Ubein she'ein imahen aron, kach hayu osim tamid. Says the Rambam, it's not limited to when you have an Aron Kodesh, although I think he hedges his bets a little bit when he says kach hayu osim tamid did. I'm not sure if that diuk is correct or not. And then he says shenema v'hayam machanecha kadosh. It says your camp should be holy. It doesn't say your camp should be holy only if the Aron Kodesh is there. Your camp should be holy. Okay, that's the Rambam. The other thing to say within the Rambam is, and it touches on an issue we've discussed before, is what is the mitzvah? Is the mitzvah v'haya machanecha kadosh, in which case presumably all these other things could be details, or no? Is it a gzeres hakosov that you have to have a shovel with you, and it's a gzeres hakosov that you have to make a latrine? It happens to be that the result of that is it helps to make a machanecha kadosh, but the direction in which you go in will determine how specific the mitzvah has to be. This is a fascinating topic because it applies all the time, right? The easiest example: I sit in a sukkah because it. That's a pasuk, right? Why do I sit in a sukkah? Leman tizk. No. Ki basukot hoshavti et bnei Yisrael ba'otzi otam eretz Yisrael. Right. So it's in the pasuk. The reason why I sit in a sukkah is, right? The reason why I wear tzitzis is. Well, what if, if I watched a movie about Yitzhak Mitzrayim, what if I really would be moved more by that, and I really would remember the Exodus more? Forget matzah and maror, right? When I watch, the Ten Commandments, which as a kid I thought was like the most religious thing ever. Right? You've all seen the Ten Commandments? Yeah, it's amazing. Okay, fine. Fine. Huh? The real one.
Yeah.
The real one. Okay, yeah. With Charlton Heston, my idol. It only bothered me later on that he played Jesus, in Ben-Hur. But on the fairness, he also appeared in the classic, Planet of the Apes. So he had to. The guy had to make Parnassa. He couldn't just, play Moshe Rabbeinu. But the bottom line is, what if I really would be moved more by watching a movie, by reading a book that touched me in a certain way? So we know the answer is no. The answer is we're a religion that balances two things: Maisa HaMitzvah, the specific commandment that God gave me, and the specific command that God gave me is eat matzah and eat maror. It's true that the reason is so that I'll feel like I left Egypt. Right? But we don't have the ability, and frankly the religion would be corrupted, if we replaced, if we replaced God's commandments with better ideas that we have. Okay? The same thing could apply here. The same thing could apply here, which is that, God said take a shovel, but nowadays we have better ways of doing it. And God said set up a latrine, but the Israeli army, I'm quite sure, doesn't set up latrines, they have actual plumbing. Right, it's very hard to know where to draw the line between the specific, is it Gzeres HaKasuv, or is it the result that really matters? That is a debate that exists all over. It will continue to exist, and it's one of the most interesting debates with respect to how you understand halacha. Now, let's look at the other shitas. Look at number 6. We'll just look at two of them. Says the Smag, the Sefer Mitzvos Gadol, Mitzvat Asei L'Takein Makom Echad Michutz LaMachaneh. It's a mitzvah, I say, to establish a latrine, lahafnot bo anshei ha-machaneh, kidei shiya machaneh naki. Okay, va'af liktanim here I don't think means minors, I think it means urine.
Okay? As you say, number 1 and number 2.
We know from people say kitanim and gedoilim. Okay, afterwards I'll tell you a from joke, but not what the thing is playing. Okay. Kideshia machane nakiv afliktanim. Shenemar, viyat yelacha michutz la machane, viyatzat hashamachutz. Vihiyelachal echad veachad yate tuliaim klim milchamto. Also, he says, part of the same mitzvah is that each person needs a shovel. Sheilech b'makomahu viyachpor b'oto yate guma achad. You have to make a hole, etc., etc. Okay? So here you see the Smag disagrees with the Rambam. He doesn't disagree on the details. He says you need a latrine and you need a shovel. But the Smag thinks that they're both part of the same mitzvah. Presumably, the Smag worked backwards. The mitzvah is Vahaya Machanecha Kadosh. That has two parts, a latrine and a shovel. Okay, let's see another machlokas. Look at the Sefer Yerim in number 7. The Sefer Yerim says, the mitzvah is hachen yateid al azeinecha, make a shovel. Tziva hakadosh baruch hu b'pashat ki teitzei machane loivecha, uktiv v'yateid tiyeh lecha al azeinecha. Perush. Here it comes. Kishe Yisrael yotzin la milchama, hayu molichin et ha'aron b'milchama imahem. What did they take out with them when they went to war? The Aron.
That was for a Mohammed.
Vitziva Hakadosh Baruch Hu Sheyin Hagu Bikidusha Uvitahara Viachinu Yated Lachpo Lachasot Seitam. Says the Sefer Yerayim, it's not the war, it's the Aron. It happens to be that when you went to war, you took the Aron with you, if you took the Aron with you, that requires you to establish a camp of a certain level of holiness, which in this case would allow us, I think, to learn out to the Machaneh in the Midbar, which was, we were encamped around the Aron. So if the Yireim thinks that the reason why you have to have hygiene in a war camp is because the Aron Hashem is with you, then I assume also in the Midbar, the Aron Hashem is with you, you have to have proper hygiene. Now you're going to say, is it true? Doesn't that limit it only to Melchamet Mitzvah? Yeah. But is that true?
That's what I'm
you
asking.
Never took the, I think you were allowed to take the spare Aron, well, to Melchamet HaRashut also. So I think that your diuk is not correct.
Okay.
But now you see why the Rambam fought against this. Right? It really does change the way you look at the mitzvah. Here, I don't want to say God forbid it trivialized the mitzvah, but here it's a din in the Aron Hashem. Right? In the Rambam, it's a din in the Machaneh and needing God's help.
So the original sources don't say anything about an Aron.
Yes and no. You see, the problem with the Shir, and I admit this, is that we skip the in-between sources because we don't have time. Meaning we read the Psukim, and then we go to the Rishonim. Right? There are all kinds of Gemaras that imply different things. It's very rare. I should say this more often. Rishonim didn't just make up their own Shitas. It's pretty rare. Almost always there's some reading of a Gemara that requires, you know, that pushes you in a certain direction. The Yireim came after the Rambam. When the Rambam points out, I don't have it in front of me, when the Rambam points out, don't think this is dependent on the Aron Hashem, it means there's a source that seems to imply that it's dependent on the Aron Hashem. Otherwise, the Rambam wouldn't have to bother to reject it. Okay, we're going
to
run out of time. Okay, what?
It would be good to see the Gemara.
Okay, Bruce only gives me an hour, so I, you know.
At your fee schedule, this is working for you.
You're right. I'm afraid if I ask for double the money,
you'll get.
Yesterday, I was talking to guys about this is how good I am in math. I was talking about how, you know, if you stay another year, you put 2 years together. I said, it's not one plus one. It's one times one. Okay. One time, I just want to say, I've thought this since I was in third grade. One times one should be more than one. I just want to say. Okay. Fine. Because it's like more ones. Fine. It's a mistake.
One to the power
Fine.
Of one.
Now. Okay. Last thing. Sefer HaChinuch says as follows. Mishar Sheha Mitzvah. He agrees with the Rambam because he copies the Rambam that it's two separate mitzvahs. He says, Kinyan shekatuv b'parsha, ki Hashem alokecha mitalech b'kerv machanecha, v'haya machanecha kadosh. By the way, it just dawns on me, ki Hashem alokecha mitalech b'kerv machanecha, maybe that's a reference to the Aron Hashem.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. Okay? Kilomar. Now, here's the philosophy. Shenafshotan shel Yisrael duvekot b'shechina la'olam. The soul of a Jew is attached to the holiness, to the Shechina forever. V'kol shekein b'machaneh shekulan nikiyei hanefesh. That attachment to God is more available in a camp where everything is clean. Ki kol hayarei me'averot shebiyado kfar halach lo v'shavel habayit. Strange take. Says the Chinuch, who are we talking about?
These are the
tzaddikim. Because the people who have Averos, they already went away. Hmm. When they were asked, now actually this makes me think it's more like Milchemes HaRishus, but okay. Because they already went away. So now you're just talking about the saintly people. V'nisharu ha-tovim asharu ha-chalokim shochein b'tocham. These are people who feel close to God. V'ra'ui lahem la'amod b'nikiyut kasha yadua u'mefursam. They should be exceptionally clean and holy. As is well known, shahanikiyut mida min hamidot hatovot hamiviali de ruach hakodesh. Nikiyut brings, you know, divine inspiration. Ukididash of Pinchas ben Yair perakamad avodazara v'gam yesh bezes shavach la'uma. It's a huge praise to the nation. Ki avo alehem malachei goy, the Gentiles see us v'yiru machanehem kadosh. V'naki mikol tinuf. It works in war when people look and see a clean, organized camp. They just go like, these people are good. We're not going to beat them. Mm-hmm. Now let's just finish. Says the Chinuch. V'nohaget bizman habayit bizicharim ki heim hanilchamim v'lo hanekevot. Okay, so first of all, people disagree with this because women have to go again. They do have to go for milchames mitzvah, but they don't really fight, right? They're the support group. He also says, what? But v'nohages bizman habayit is something we haven't seen before. The Chinuch thinks this is a mitzvah that only exists at the time of the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know why. I don't know why I didn't look into it. I'm sorry. Now, v'over alzeh v'lo hitkin lo makom michutz ha-machaneh u'lekalech makom ha-machanot bitel aseh zeh. Okay? If you don't do it, you mevatel aseh v'onsho gadol ma'od. She'goreim l'shchina l'histalek mi'machaneh Yisrael. Because he literally causes God to leave the Jewish camp. God will leave. Okay, so just to recap, you know, there's the interesting halachic machlokes, how many mitzvos, what's the cause of the mitzvos, but the phyllis, and you know, and the idea behind the fact that God gets down to these kinds of details, I find fascinating. The bigger idea of why the standard should be higher during war than during peacetime, I think that's really fascinating. There you have kind of Rashi's religious take that when you put yourself in danger and you need God's help, you're kind of on trial, in which case, you know, Hasatan mikatreg bishat hamilchama, he prosecutes, so you need to be better. That's one possibility. The second possibility is kind of the opposite, the Ramban, which is you're more likely to misbehave in war. You're more likely to be animalistic. Therefore, you need to act better. There's the idea that we all recognize, which is, you know, you're more at risk. The fascinating idea that God's presence may depend on your behavior. Right? Because we want God to be there. We need God. Right? And if not, v'shav me'acharecha, he'll leave. So the actual idea that physical cleanliness can make God's presence be more comfortable, that's out there. Again, this may depend on whether you need the Aron Kodesh there or not. That's also, you know, kind of an iffy proposition which could change things. But the idea that your behavior affects God, and you finally have the Sefer HaChinuch who says, of course you should behave better, because only tzaddikim go to war, and tzaddikim should be held to a higher standard. Okay? Fascinating stuff. Wait, shut this first.
You really.
By the way, no.